Greetings in the name of Jesus, each of you this morning. Certainly you've been blessed. Appreciate the many good thoughts, devotional that was shared. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Certainly an invitation that none of us want to miss, thinking about our relationship with Christ. Also enjoyed the practical part of the Sunday school lesson. A lot of good truths there too, when we think about the holiness of God and it's outworking in our lives. Let's continue to remember Conrad and Rhonda and their grief. God would give them comfort in relation to the loss of their five and a half week old son. Certainly, again, one of the mysteries of God. This morning for our message, we're just going to take a little recess from the series of messages we've been looking at in relation to identity, tradition, and culture. Felt led this morning to look at something a little different. You may turn with me to John 10. And I'd like to start with this question: what is the spiritual state of your heart this morning? What is the spiritual state of your heart? We're honest before God. We're sitting here, not thinking about everybody else, but ourselves. Where are we at in the spiritual state of our heart? The song we just sang, that theme song, I think a tune has been going through my mind all week. The thoughts there, when you think about the river, likening it to death, the end of life, and how could we be involved in sinning if we realize that the river of death flows so near? It's a good point to ponder. It's a good thought. You think about the reality of life, the reality of death. And again, back to this question: what is the spiritual state of your heart this morning? John chapter 10 and the second half of verse 10 is the text that we'd like to look at, where Jesus here says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." For a while this morning, I would like to think about this whole thought of the abundant life. And what did Jesus mean here when he said, I'm come to that they might have life? And I think we can understand that in relation to the whole spiritual dimension of salvation and the new birth and all of those things as it relates to having life in Christ, the spiritual life. But looking at it more from the perspective of that, when he says that they might have it more abundantly. Now, if we're here this morning and have never made a commitment to Christ, of course, that we have not tasted of that life. And we do not have that spiritual life in Christ. So that would be the state of a heart like that is not surrendered to Christ. But I'm thinking more this morning in relation to, you know, the spiritual state of our lives as Christians. And I guess I've been a little convicted lately in relation to preaching and teaching, and or maybe at least as a question in my mind. We talk about the Christian life and the temptations, the trials, life is a battlefield in relation to Christianity and all of those things. But is it possible that we sometimes focus a little bit too much on that side of it and not enough on the positive, you know, life and power in Christ? So that's the background of this message this morning. And thinking of that, yes, the Christian life is a battle. The Christian life has many struggles and trials. We understand that. When we choose to become a Christian, we choose to with the help and the strength of God, do battle with the devil head on. Of course, before we're a Christian, we're already, you know, under the control or in Satan's domain, and so he has us. But when you make that decision, you're entering into spiritual battle. And of course, we have the strength of God that he gives us to be victorious and faithful in that. But if we focus only on that side of it, maybe we are forgetting and not seeing the joy of the Lord and the abundance that God gives to us. And so this morning, let's look at the abundant life. And so there's times in my life, and you would probably say too, that we were kind of hanging on by our fingertips. You ever see somebody climbing a rock wall freehand? And they're going up this rock wall, and they could be way up there. And it's just their toes and their fingertips that are holding them on the side of that rock face. I think I've been there somewhat sometimes spiritually. And maybe you have been too. Where it feels like we're just sort of hanging on by our fingers and toes, and that's just about. And there's times we go through those times, Bob. But should that be a normal experience all the time for the Christian? And so again, looking at our spiritual life this morning, where are we at in our relationship with God? And that's when, you know, discouragement can set in and a feeling of hopelessness sometimes. And but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just be alive, but be abundantly alive in Christ. I would like to read now. I think we're going to take the time to read these first 18 verses. This is the setting where Jesus says this. And then we'd like to just notice some of the practical things as a way of encouragement for us. John 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Here in this passage, Jesus referring to himself as the good shepherd, we as his sheep, and notice that he is providing for us all that we need. He gives the pasture. Notice in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so after that salvation experience, one of the works of Christ for us is to supply that pasture. In the analogy, of course, of the sheep being well fed, And so this morning, again, what is the state, the spiritual state of our souls, our hearts? Are we well fed? Are we finding that pasture? Are we finding that abundant life? Or are we half-starved Christians struggling along, trying to find enough strength to go from day to day? Or are we finding that abundant pasture that Christ wants to give us? There are many things in life. As we think of living in the midst of a world that is in so much turmoil and so much upheaval, as we face more and more the realities of the last days, we are facing the encroaching world upon our lives. You know, the discouragement and pain of those who are falling away from the truth, as Jesus prophesied would happen. We need this truth, I think, emphasized for our stability and our joy this morning. When you think about in the midst of all the things that we face, Christ wants to give us abundant life. Again, not just hanging on by our fingertips, but that abundant life in Him, that we can be thriving, healthy, and well-satisfied Christians in today's world. I'd like to think now a little bit about what is this abundant life. I'm going to use a scriptural illustration. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What is this abundant life? Just look at these verses. It's a sample of what I believe Christ is offering to us. Ephesians 3, and I'll begin reading at verse 14. This is a prayer of Paul. And notice here in these verses what he has to say. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now notice the abundance of Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You talk about abundance. I don't know what all this means. In fact, he says that you're not going to know all this because it says it passeth knowledge. Verse 19. To know, well, let's back at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We're going to be rooted and grounded in love. We're going to be experiencing with all the saints together. We're going to be experiencing the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of Christ's love. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? You're going to know something that is beyond your knowledge. He's showing us the vastness of the provision of Christ for us. And brothers and sisters, friends, this morning, if we get discouraged and we, like I said, hanging on by our fingertips, we need to read passages like this. Just soak it in of what Christ wants to do for us and be for us. And to know Christ's love, that is, we'll never get done learning and exploring the love of Christ in this life. In fact, you know, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding greatness of his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So a big part of eternity is going to be the continual unveiling of the love of Christ that was extended to us. So we'll never exhaust it in this life because it's going to take eternity to reveal it to us in the next. And then he says that ye, us as Christians, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, I'm not sure what all that means, because again, it's beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to know in the fullest sense. But this morning, again, it means to us of what God wants to do through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit in each of our lives. To be filled with the fullness of God. We would say Jesus Christ exemplified that as the God-man, the Son of God, God himself in flesh. You remember? He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I'm a replica. I'm in the image of God the Father. And so Jesus was filled with the fullness of God as he was here on earth. Many times that was somewhat veiled as they saw just the humanity of Christ. But it was there. And God wants to give us that through Jesus Christ in our lives, to be filled with the fullness of God. We were talking about holiness this morning in our Sunday school lesson. It was interesting. I had the same thought in relation to the question that was raised, you know, why are we seemingly sometimes almost afraid of holiness or afraid of that word? It sets the bar pretty high for us. But isn't that part of this whole thing, this idea of being filled with the fullness of God and God's holiness and God's expression of holiness within us? That's why Paul writes there in Corinthians, he says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, that the glory of God could actually indwell, you know, human vessels. And God chose to do that, you know, as human as we are and as prone to failure as we are sometimes, and we struggle at times to understand the will and ways of God and to maintain our faith and the struggles that, you know, that we face. It was one of the questions that was asked yesterday at that funeral. Where is God? And why would God do this? Take a little 5.5-week-old baby from these godly parents. Why? To struggle to maintain faith. But God wants his glory, his image, to shine forth from our lives as we respond in faith, submission, and humility to the plans of a sovereign God. We only see the human factor. We only see the human level. God understands the big picture. And as Christians, in being filled with the fullness of God in our lives, we accept God and his sovereignty in our lives. Then the last two verses here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. There you have that word again, abundantly. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why are we so timid at times to ask God for a greater measure of his Spirit in our lives, or a greater understanding, or to increase our faith, or any of those things? Why do we hold back? Why do we struggle along on our own sometimes, you know, trying to somehow find our way and have that spiritual energy to keep going, when he says here that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we could even ask or think? He is waiting to give us that power, that strength, that courage, that holiness in our lives. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This morning, brothers and sisters, there is power, there is provision abundantly available. What is this abundant life? Christ intends it to be a peaceful life. Not that there's no struggles, no trials, no temptations, but peaceful in the sense that we know that we have that relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ. And that brings peace. It's peace in the midst of the storm. It's peace in the midst of chaos in the world. It's peace in all those situations that he wants to give us. It is a joyful life. And I think the joy of Christ can radiate forth from our lives when we are experiencing this abundance. It is a satisfying life. It is a fulfilling life. It is a secure life. And all the things that we could talk about that relate to these ideas are a part, I believe, of this abundant life. There's a struggle of the human heart to find security. There's a struggle of the human life to find fulfillment. There's a struggle of the human life to find freedom. And there's a struggle of the human heart to find satisfaction. People want job satisfaction or career satisfaction or marital satisfaction or all those things. And we bring that to Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. We can experience those things because he wants to give us that abundant life when we submit ourselves and empty ourselves so that he can fill us. Jesus says here, John 10, in the beginning of this verse, before he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, he says, first of all, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. What are some thieves that rob us of abundant living? Weariness, stress, discouragement. Sometimes there's the struggle with pain and physical suffering. Sometimes it's the thief of self-centered living, the snare of seeking pleasure and entertainment, some kind of satisfaction in those things rather than finding our satisfaction and pleasure in serving Christ. It can also, another thief can be the threat of trying to live a double life in the sense of trying to serve two masters. And you know how it is in our Christian life when we're trying to have a piece of the world and still kind of be a Christian, and you know, that double living. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't have it both ways. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. It's either one or the other. But somehow in our minds, sometimes we think we can do that. And it robs us of the abundant living because we're trying to sort of have it both ways. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see, that whole thing of a double heart, a double life, trying to sort of have it both ways. Somehow be a Christian enough to escape hell, but not be a Christian enough to shun the world and all the pleasures and the folly of the world, you see. And that will rob us of the abundant life. It will also be a lack of surrender to the present will of God. When we think about in our lives and, you know, that holding back, is there anything at any point in our lives this morning, each of us, where we may have, you know, put a roadblock or said, you know, I don't want to go there. I'll agree to do this and I'll serve the Lord in this way. But there are some things that I just do not want to do. You know, if we set any roadblocks in relation to the will of God and the forward progressive sanctification of his work in our lives, we're not going to live an abundant life. We're going to be struggling. And there's just so often in our lives where we can subconsciously do this, say, well, I'll go this far, but I don't want to go there where God leads us. And I can tell you of situations, not only in my own life, but in others where I've watched this. And what happens is instead of going forward, then there's a going backwards. We say, I just don't want to surrender this much. I don't want to give in this much. I don't want to do this or that. And then we hinder the work of God. You think there of the Israel in the Old Testament. The book of Psalms, it talks about that. I don't have the reference. It just came to my mind now. But talks about their unbelief at times when they rebelled against God, and it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. This morning, are we limiting the abundant life being worked out in our lives because of unwillingness to go all the way? And we've set up these roadblocks in our life ourselves to say, I don't really want to go there. So there's surrender to the present will of God, taking too much of the world along with us. We talked about that a double life or double-mindedness, and try to follow some of the fashions of the world and yet still be a Christian, and the contradiction that creates in our hearts. Whether it can be a lack of spiritual input, and we know how that is when we are feeding off of the vanity of the world, we're feeding out of the old cisterns of the world rather than the living water of life that Christ gives us, that will also be a hindrance, a thief. It will rob us of that spiritual input that we need. And of course, spiritual defeat then, and the struggle for victory. Also, there can be the responding to negative peer pressures. There can be a loss of quiet meditation time with Jesus. Think about the busyness of our life, and one of the contradictions of the world that we live in right now is the, all these labor-saving devices, that actually just only make us way more busy, less time for meditation, less time to spend with our Lord. And I think it's one of the devil's tools, that in the name of expediency or efficiency or, we can do this, we can do it this much faster and this much more efficient. And all we do is cram our schedules fuller, it seems. So I think it's one of the things that is really a threat to us in today's world in which we live is the loss of quiet meditation time with Jesus. We probably will come back to that in a moment. Lack of honesty with ourselves and God. And this is one of the first steps of deception. So it's something we need to take notice of. But lack of honesty with ourselves. And sometimes rather than dealing with something that in our own life where we honestly know before God is not the way it ought to be, individuals can somehow get out around this and somehow figure out a way, that they can condone this. And then they say, well, Jesus would have done this, or Jesus would have, and would have agreed with this, or whatever it is. But it's really just an escape of in honestly dealing with what we know we should do. Also, there's looking for freedom in the wrong place. A lot of discussion about freedom nowadays in society, know that there is a quest for human freedom in the heart of every person. But when that is pursued in the wrong way, it brings you into bondage. But the spiritual freedom in Christ, the abundant life that Christ wants to give, is where true freedom is found. Now, in closing, I'd like to look at how to find the abundant life. We looked at some of the things that rob us, the thieves that take away this. How can we find the abundant life? Excuse me, that Jesus wants to give us. First of all, we must always be sure that our repentance is up to date. We talked about honesty with our own hearts before God. We must be sure that our repentance is up to date. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's really that simple. And it really requires that kind of honesty. If our repentance is not up to date, in other words, if there are things in my life that are not the way they should be and I have not repented of them, we will not have the abundant life. We'll be half-starved Christians grappling somehow, thinking that we can stay alive somehow when we're not having that abundant life. We must also concentrate on the personal aspect of our relationship with Christ. I think there's a tendency, I feel it in myself, and I think you will too. You struggle with it too. We all struggle with it. Where the whole idea of this relationship with Christ can feel or seem kind of abstract. We understand a lot of times the relationship that we have with each other, whether in family life, in a marriage, or, you know, in brotherhood or friends, neighbors, whatever. We can understand that relationship, those face-to-face relationships. But somehow I do believe that we struggle to understand what we talk about when we say a personal relationship with Christ. We have a hard time as material beings. You know, we sit here this morning, I can see you as physical people. And we say sometimes in a service that we believe that Christ is here in spirit, Christ is here with us. And we say we believe that, but we still have a hard time because we have a hard time really understanding and feeling as connected to the spirit world as we do to the physical world, because we are physical beings. How can we relate to this? And how can we find the abundant life in our relationship with Jesus Christ? And I'm not necessarily talking this morning about the whole thing of visualization and all the things that can go into that in a negative way, in a bad way. But there is a sense in which I believe that we must have that spiritual relationship with Christ so that we can identify with him in spirit, that we can realize his presence with us. We can know that as we communicate with him. And so concentration on the spiritual, or I should say the personal aspect of our relationship with Christ. And that's a spiritual relationship. Do you talk to him face to face? Do you communicate with Jesus as friend to friend? You're driving down the road, and you've heard me use this illustration before. You're driving down the road, your mind is not fully, all your mental faculty is not fully required for the job you're doing. Right, keep your eyes on the road, of course, and do what you need to do, but you understand what I'm saying. There's other thoughts going through our minds. Are you having that conversation with Christ as a friend to friend? If he was sitting there beside you on the seat, he's with you. Why not talk to him? The majority of our praying should be done like that, and not in a formal, verbal sense. Well, I shouldn't say verbal, but collective sense. Moses, the Bible says, and God had that kind of relationship. And we look up to Moses as a man of God. The Bible says that God and Moses had conversations together face to face as a man talketh to his friend. It's no wonder Moses said, "Can you show me your face?" It was face to face. It was like God was standing here and Moses was standing here. It was face to face. And Moses felt that presence very keenly, and, you know, especially one illustration would be, of course, on Mount Sinai. But you understand what I'm saying, that they were close. And Moses told God sometimes exactly how he felt. You remember when he said, "I can't bear this people anymore. I just can't do this. I can't bear these people all by myself." God said, "No. You're not burying them all by yourself, by the way. You know, I'm with you." But, you know, what I'm saying is that Moses had that kind of relationship with God that he could speak to God in that way. I admire that. But why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Can we not have, even in a more true sense, that relationship of speaking with Jesus, the one who wants to give us that abundant life? Would we understand better that spiritual connection that we have with him on a personal level if we would practice more of this? It's not just driving down the road. I use that only as an illustration. It can be doing the dishes or weeding the garden or whatever it is. Where does your mind go when it is just left to go where it wants to go? Your thoughts, where do they go? Jesus said, "For where the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Think of that in this sense, that when your mind just goes, left to go where it wants to go, with your thoughts, where does it go? It says something about us and about our hearts. It's a challenge for us. Does it go to that, to Christ who is there beside us? We talk to him. Not only about our own selves, our own struggles, other people, whatever it is, you know, we'll never get done discussing the things of life. Our concerns, our prayers, our struggles with the one right beside us who said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you an abundant life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In other words, Christ is saying, I'm right here. If you just would realize I'm right here and open your mind and your thoughts to me, I will sup with you. I will fellowship with you. I will share with you. I think we should make it that practical and that personal. Another part of finding the abundant life is really related also to personal worship. And it's really connected with this whole relationship with Christ, of course. But how much energy do I put into personal worship? And I'm not just talking about a devotional life or reading the scriptures. Yes, that all is a part of it. But what am I willing to do to expand my personal worship with Christ? It is said of Jesus, as he was here on earth, he said, it says there that he would get up early in the morning before it was light. He would go out there in the mountain to pray. It was busy. We talked about meditation. Meditation is fast becoming, you could say maybe a lost art for many of us, I'm afraid. It's a challenge for us. Cell phones have made that really a challenge. Because what time could have been spent and would have been spent in meditation can so easily be absorbed in something far less spiritual, or maybe not even spiritual at all. Meditation. Maybe there's times that we need to stop and take a look. I know I do my own self. I struggle with these things too. In relation to recess times or times that our phones are not with us. We leave them somewhere else. We discipline ourselves to leave it. I was blessed last year at Bible school. Some of the young students there, they came to the principal and handed in their phones, which they have them certain parts of the day, and certain parts of the day they have them on a shelf there. But they actually came and said, we'd like to hand in our phones. We want to go on, I think it was 1 week, that we simply do not have. We simply don't use it. They call it a phone fast. Think about that for our lives. You know, we think about fasting in a lot of different ways, but what about a phone fast? Can we lay that thing down? Maybe you need to tell a few people in case they want to get a hold of you or need to get a hold of you, but just, I'm not going to pick that up. I'm going to leave that. Think about meditation and with Christ and what that means and what we're willing to do in sacrifice to have that quiet time with him. We can say we pray, yes, we pray, but do we meditate so that Christ can speak to us? through our hearts. Also, another thing I think that is very important in this abundant life, and that is do something for somebody else. Service to others. It is said of Jesus that he went about doing good. In our instruction class this morning, we talked about the house of Stephanus, where Paul says that they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Were they living the abundant life? I'm sure they were. Is it always easy to lay down our things, to lay down our whatever it is and do something for someone else? Sometimes it takes a discipline to do that. But sacrificial living for Christ's kingdom is a very important part of living that abundant life. And I know a lot of you do this. I've been blessed to see that in our congregation. I just want to encourage that. There's so many things that can tie us up with our own things. But sacrificial living. I thought about it yesterday, that funeral. The amount of people that came from all over North America that a week ago would never have planned any kind of a trip like that. A sacrifice. To minister, to grieve, to weep together. We need to also avoid the exposure to the snares and temptations of the world. We talked about this earlier, but we have to be careful with this, lest the whole concept of the world and all that is out there, its snares and the status quo and lifestyles and fashions and lusts and all those things can rob us of that abundant life in Christ. Romans 16 and verse 19, there the last part of the verse says, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The drain of the world. You know, we look at that scripture there in the book of Daniel where it talks about what we say is the Antichrist, the whole idea there of the anti-God system. And it says there about the beast there that he will seek to wear out the saints of the Most High. We are in that time, I believe, as the saints probably have always been, but I think especially now in these last days where the devil is working to just wear us out. And that's where we need that abundant life in Christ, that power that Christ wants to give us. Another part of this is to find spiritual fellowship with faithful friends. You know, we think about that scripture where in Hebrews where it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, you know, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think that fellowship of friends and in Christian friendship is a part of that abundant life. We need the church today. We need the body of Christ more than ever. When you think about that abundant life that he wants to give us. I'd like to close with the words of a song we sing sometimes, the life that's more abundant. While others seek for pleasure in things that must decay, the life that's more abundant will never fade away. I found it first at Calvary where Jesus Christ had died. For me, a poor lost sinner, my soul was satisfied. He brought me from sin's darkness into his glorious light. My eyes to him were blinded, but he restored my sight. The living water floweth, it satisfies my soul, and from the cross of Jesus a cleansing stream doth roll. That life that's more abundant at Jesus' feet I find, and there learn precious lessons that fill my heart and mind, and in his word most precious the way of life is given, the light, the guide, the pathway that leads me into heaven. Then the chorus, the life that's more abundant, so rich and full and free, beyond my expectation, he measures out to me. He freely gives me pardon. He fills my soul with peace. And this new life abundant shall evermore increase. This morning, brothers and sisters, there is so much yet to be explored in what Christ wants to offer us and is offering us. There is so much land yet to be discovered. so many blessings yet before us. Let's continue forward in seeking that, submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit within as he directs us and moves us always, always upward and closer to Christ. May God bless each of you this morning. Let's kneel to pray. Thank you, Father God, for your expression of supreme love in sending Jesus here to this sin-cursed world to suffer, to die, to show your love to us, that we can be redeemed, that we this morning, as your children, can have that abundant life. Father, you know the many obstacles that we allow at times to shortchange us of this abundant love, abundant life. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to have our vision again renewed this morning of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have that relationship with our Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit and his power within us. And Father, we're ashamed of ourselves, and so often how we just cling to things, cling to life, just barely getting through when you provided so much for us. And Father, we just pray we might be penitent, we might be humble, we might be seeking you with our whole heart, that we might not fail in any way, but allow you to lead us and to bless us. You know the struggles that each of us face. You know the battles that each of us have. And Father, we know that there is victory and there is power, but help us then to be humble, to accept that and to lean upon you, face the realities of our own heart in honesty, and allow you to continue to lead us so that we can be your faithful children. And we look forward to that day, Father, when we can be in your eternal presence with our Lord Jesus and all the saints of all the ages. And again, glorify your name and praise you for all that you have done in our lives. We just pray you would prepare us for that day. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.